This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
How are Christians supposed to operate in this Hollywood-driven culture that in many ways values and celebrates the exact opposite things as the God of the Bible? Well, there is no one better to hash all of this out with than my brother, Sean Bowles. Sean, my brother, how are we doing?
I'm so good. Thanks for the compliment.
So the culture, this is something you're really, really passionate about. First off, why are you so passionate about it?
I mean, I moved to LA for it like 20 years ago. You know, it's like, I feel like the next time we see God move in a major way is going to be through the everyday cultural influencers taking their platforms and using them for God, whether it's be a celebrity or an influencer like a YouTuber, TikTok or whatever. And we're already seeing that. We're seeing people grow by millions who would be a Stephen Furtick 25 years ago before they would just turn into a pastor and start a local church. Instead, they're like a Ruslan who's like helping people navigate their hearts through culture. Mm-hmm. It's pretty amazing.
Shout out to Ruslan, by the way.
I love him.
Dude, yeah. He's crushing it. But you are too on your own YouTube channel. And so is that by Hollywood, you don't necessarily mean literally you go make a movie for Paramount. It's kind of this whole wave of being able to reach people en masse.
Yeah, and I think there's two trains of thought in that. One is direct way, which is like being, you know, a place of influence to make faith-based projects, which we of course love. We're here at TBN. But there's another way, which is also being a light in those places. Like I have friends right now that work at Disney and God's like put them on assignment, like a missionary. Why Disney's having its great collapse. You know, they're the most woke company probably of all of them in the industry and have made some really aggressive stands against nuclear family. And yeah, I have friends who are there dreaming the dream that they feel like God's dreaming over Disney and they don't feel like they're supposed to leave yet. And they know that there's something about the influence that company can still have. And they're not going to die on the ship, but they're definitely not jumping off until they feel.
So you touched a nerve for me because I grew up just a hardcore Disney fan, man. Yeah. We used to go to Disney World. The experimental prototype community of tomorrow, AKA Epcot, was like my favorite place on the entire planet. I love it. But now that I have, you know, a 4-year-old is almost 5, I don't know how to say this without sounding kind of old school, but I turn on Disney Plus. I'm like, no, you're not watching that.
Yeah.
And it's not even like, oh, he said a bad word. It's like, you're putting what in kids stuff? And so where does the average Joe interact with culture? Are we like, hey, I'm going to turn off all the streaming services. I'm going to just check out. Sorry, movie theaters, not coming back. You know, all music, we're done with you. Let's just go, you know, build some sort of cabin in Wyoming and call it a day. Or are we
us and them? Yeah. There's us against the world. Yeah,
but it kind of feels like that to some people. Yeah. Or are we supposed to, you know, do the Jesus Revolution movie kind of thing, the Chosen kind of thing? Are we supposed to invest in culture creating content? What are we supposed to be doing here?
Well, I mean, I love the fact that a lot of the entertainment's not working, and so there's room to create Chosens, and there's room to make the new Cartoon David movie, and there's incredible stuff happening because culture is failing culture. You know, which is just crazy. And so there's faith-based is emerging all over the place. But bigger than that, I think that, you know, this whole lifetime is so short. And we have this expression where we get to show off who God is. We get to show that us plus God equals different results than us plus just ourselves. Just the best we can do by our education, by our own life. God leads us in ways we wouldn't lead ourselves. So I think, like, the world's hungry to see who God is. And us being in our career, wherever we're called, whether we're called to be an engineer or a tradesman or whatever. Some people are called to the arts entertainment community to be a sound designer, to be a camera person. We have camera people here. And some people are called to be in their place of authority in God by being in a very mainstream set. And I watch this all the time where there's incredible people that I'm friends with that, you know, one of our friends, she's not very charismatic and she's like a stoic person. And someone gives her this prophetic word, you're going to be a gatekeeper in Hollywood. And she doesn't even know what that means. She's like, what does that mean? You're going to help keep God's doors open. Okay, are you going to open God's door? She's like, that's awesome. Well, she worked for one of the kind of channels that have a lot of adult kind of content on them, yeah. Or mature content, not adult, but mature content. And at one point, they were going to do their first unsimulated sexy time on there on a show that was unsimulated on a mainstream show.
Really?
And she's like, she goes to the director of this whole channel and goes, I'm the person who's, you know, one of the producers on the show. This will ruin you, and it's not where this network wow. wants to go. And she said, I realized like in that moment, I am a gatekeeper.
Come on.
But I'm closing the gates of hell for this network.
Let's go.
To not be branded by Let's this go. Really gross thing that the writers on this show that were driving this because of their success, who both of them got arrested later on, and one of them got arrested for child pornography.
Wow.
She's like, there's something on them that you don't want to be branded by. You yeah. don't want the whole network to follow. And shortly after this, that's when the whole show started dismantling and falling apart.
Wow.
And so she, the director of the whole network, the CEO of the whole network was like, you saved us. You see, we dodged a bullet because of you. And she's like, just so you know, I'm a Christian and I helped shut the gates of hell because the enemy was trying to come through here. This is not the destiny of this whole network.
So let's broaden this up a little bit. So let's say my friend here is not in the entertainment industry, but they have an opportunity to be on a school board, or they have an opportunity to lead a, you know, branch of a corporation that isn't necessarily making content, but you are kind of in some ways either the gatekeeper of the culture, you are in charge of, you know, setting the tone. You might, you know, be in some sort of, I don't know, you name the thing, where it's not necessarily we're content creators, but the things that are being told, you need to do it this way. And like, man, that is anti-biblical, or we're doing it this way. I'm like, whoa, that's the opposite of what scripture would say. Or whatever space or sphere that they're in, you work for company X, and guess what company X is celebrating tomorrow? Should I even come to work that day? How would you recommend someone operate in their own spheres?
A relational value system. So like I had friends who, when the vaccination was going to be mandatory in the military, I had friends who, because I have a lot of military friends, who didn't feel like they were supposed to take the vaccination for whatever reason. They just didn't feel it. You know, whether you like vaccinations or not, they didn't feel they were supposed to. And so they, one of them was like religious about it. I'm just like, there's no, you're taking away my freedom. I'm a Christian. I shouldn't have to take this. Da, da, da. And just like really gave this letter that was like ultimatum. Like, you've forced me out of it. I have to quit type, like, and unless you make, you know, and it was like very like militant, and that's his personality, but it's very anti-biblical. And then I watched but I get it. I get like the sense of like, you're taking away my freedom. I'm going to fight. And then I watched another friend of mine who said, you know, like, I just want to appeal to you. Like, I love the service and I love what I'm doing. I don't feel like I'm supposed to take this. And so what do we do? Like, how can I help you and how can you help me? And especially because you know that this is my conviction, I'm not trying to give you an ultimatum. I'm trying to figure out how to work with you. Mm. And I feel like Christians are first to be the Karen sometimes. Like when we have a religious principle, we're like, I'm going to fight you until I get my way. Where's the manager? That's not who Christians are. Yeah. We don't look for like the manager. Our manager is God. Like, are you looking at your manager?
I'm not joking. The idea of being a Karen is not a Christian concept.
Absolutely not. I mean, like, how could it?
Though I do love pumpkin spice lattes. They call them Jakes too. Yeah, I'm sure Karen does too.
But you know, you think of like the reality is like you can make a great appeal. I had a friend who wasn't being paid enough during coronavirus when inflation was the worst.
Yeah.
And he wasn't being paid enough. And he just went to his boss and three times. Listen, I'm going to have to leave soon if you don't pay me more. And the other people were just rage quitting. And the boss seemed like it didn't matter or didn't care about the whole thing. And finally he said, I want you to know that I do have to make a different choice. And I'm going to give you the next couple of weeks to make the choice with me, or you're going to be making it for me if you don't address this, because you've never actually, you've listened with compassion, but you haven't made any changes. Mm. And I think that's the thing, is like, if we appeal to the relational heart of God and the relational part of each other, it's almost always a win, or at least it's a clear break. But a lot of Christians are in the fight or flight mode all the time. Like, I'm going to fight you, I'm going to leave forever. And we do it to our churches. That's why there's so many church splits. There's people who leave. I don't go there anymore. Why? And they tell you the reason. There was never a relational step on why they left.
Mm.
It just happened because they didn't like this. They moved on. It's like, that's not the Bible.
Sean, you're touching on something that, you know, this talk was supposed to be about, like, you know,
entertainment.
No. My point is about like culture, but I actually think what you're talking about is more interesting, which is, I mean, it's not hard to see. There is this flight or fight aspect of a lot of American Christianity. And what you're saying is that's
anti-biblical. That's absolutely anti-biblical. And it's what the strength is if we don't have that, if we don't default to our normal psychology and we actually fight for connection with God and with others, we become absolutely the most powerful person in the room. Because you have these CEOs who are like working with you at your company, and they're like, they're looking for people who are loyal, who are faithful, who are generous. And they're looking for people who work through things without HR, you know, without having to go to get in trouble. Like, and Christians are like, I'm in a Matthew 18 year. And you're like, but you're doing it out of like a spirit of rage and a Karen. Mm-hmm. You're not doing it out of like a, hey, can we talk? I'm really concerned. I really have something going on in my heart. So we should be modeling conflict and conflict resolution. We should be the de-escalators. And we're escalating everything. And so when it comes to like the entertainment industry, God is doing so much in Hollywood. He's doing so much in music and in video games in these areas. But we've so trained ourselves not to see what God's doing because we're addicted to the drama of what man's doing wrong, what the enemy's doing. And many churches and pastors lead their whole services by the fear of what God's not doing, not focusing on what God is doing. And so when you're in a church that leads that way, then your default isn't, I'm going to try and work this out relationally. Or your default isn't like, it's okay, because God's doing a lot. So I can lend compassion or empathy or patience for what's not happening yet. Mm. You don't go there because you're in it to get it. You're in it to win it. Mm. And it becomes more of a battle. Like your battleground's not against spiritual principalities and powers and the things in Ephesians. Your battleground's against that human giving you the justice you need right now. And I think that there's going to be a cultural revolution that Christians are unintentionally going to lead just because we're going to practice the Bible. And it's going to be so contrasted in the entertainment industry. It's going to be so contrasted in workplace that people, HR companies are going to be like, can you teach us what you just did in that conflict? Can you tell us the language you just, like, I need to hear that language again. What did you just say? Like, how did you say that? Because you took something that should have been volatile. And again, I think we'll be brought into the center of conflicts, even with issues that we don't agree with, to help navigate. I've had to reject Christians who I don't agree with their perspective. Like I moved to LA and a guy who I love said, by a prophecy, LA is going to go into the ocean. And he prophesied, if you move there, you will die. And I looked at him and I go, I really love you. You're like my uncle. Can I reject your word without rejecting you? He goes, I've never thought of that before. I don't know. Because his identity was so much in his prophecies and his words and his spiritual perspective. And I thought, this would be a good exercise for both of us. Can I stay connected to you while you spat off this stuff? And can you stay connected with me when you know I don't believe it?
Wow.
And I'm going to live the opposite.
I think you're setting some people free because, I mean, it's like, I feel like Christians, I'm myself included, feel like culture is like poking at us. Almost like react. And so it's like, all right, fine, I'll react. But you're giving another option, which is respond with the Holy Spirit from a biblical perspective. That's massive.
I love it. Well, I call it proactive versus reactive energy. So I love it. You're saying react.
Yeah.
Like, are you reacting to everything? Or are you proactively planning? You know, are you living by design?
So what if there are issues that like you would jump in front of a train to stop that issue? It's that big of a deal. But like the way you're going about it, this is all related to the topic of this entire show, which is how are we supposed to interact with something that like really fires us up from like a conviction standpoint? Like, dude, this is wrong.
Yeah.
I need to do something. But now maybe Sean's telling me to like chill out a little bit. Like, where's the line?
No, I'm not telling you to chill out. We need to be just as passionate, but we have to be more emotionally and spiritually mature in our response. You know, protesting can do a lot in certain generations and certain issues, but it doesn't really solve issues. It doesn't actually change in the court of law's issues long-term. It may highlight something to where we get to the courts eventually, but eventually there has to be somebody who's willing to actually have the conversations, whether they're a lawyer, whether they're a civil rights leader, whatever they are. And I think like, I want to mature enough. Like my kids are really good at like bugging me until I listen to them. But once they're older, like when they're 2 and 3, once they're older, like they learn how to capture my attention. I learn how to capture their attention differently. Cause now we have more connection because they're more emotionally mature. They're more emotionally intelligent, you know? And I think Christians need to become more emotionally intelligent and more emotionally aware and self-aware. And as we do, we'll have more authority. I just get to talk. We have Exploring the Marketplace podcast, one of my favorite podcasts I've ever done. And we just talked to career people about how them plus God equals a different result in their career. And they end up telling us, like we had Michael Hyatt on. I mean, he's one of the biggest guys in Christianity, I think, for business world. And he's like, and he goes, oh, I haven't told this story in so long. It's just hard to tell. But I like sacrificed my family at the altar of my career. And that's the biggest thing God ever like showed me. And I actually had to overcome. And he starts to share this story. And it was like such a marker. And he goes, I almost felt like a shame sharing that story again. Well, afterwards, he was telling us. And I was like, that's so interesting because that's the story that will set everyone free. Mm. But I feel like we've always had to come from you come from such a place of strength. I'm going to power you through this. I'm going to bully you and knock you down until you submit versus, can I share with you where I'm at and be vulnerable? Like you're breaking the connection. I've had friends who live in alternative lifestyles or whatever. who don't share the same values as I do. And sometimes they'll come to me like, and they'll be like, well, what do you think about this? And I'm like, I don't even know if I want to talk to you about that because we don't share any common ground. Where do we share common ground so we can stay connected? Because that issue isn't going to help our relationship.
So you're not compromising.
We're not compromising because I'm like, you don't want my input.
Yeah.
And it'll create a battle.
I think that's the huge thing. It's like, you're not throwing this out for a relationship, which I feel like a lot of young generation Z millennial, not a lot, but you know, oh, well, for the sake of relationship, I'm going to put this on the side, ignore it for a hot second. Full relationship.
Yeah.
You're not saying
that. Not at all.
Yeah. So can I ask you, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Uh-oh.
Okay. So the only reason I'm going to ask this question is because this show is called Can I Trust the Bible? And we don't really like to sugarcoat things or we just need, someone's watching this who's like, I just want a clear answer.
And you're asking me.
Yeah, I'm asking you because
I'll tell you a parable.
I trust your Holy Spirit judgment very much.
Here we go.
Do you think Christians should boycott Target in June?
I did think it was powerful this June to do it for the first time that they really did it. And I think it was powerful because it sends a message that says, you know, like it's different when I may have a difference and a disagreement that homosexuality isn't God's original plan for humanity, but I'm not against people getting married and expressing their value that way. What I'm against is when they bring it back to me and oppress my children that I have to learn it the way they want me to learn it or else my children aren't being raised correctly. Mm-hmm. So they're taking away my freedom to parent my children. So tuck-friendly swimsuits that came out for transgender kids, which I don't agree with. I think there's two genders. And I don't need to fight everybody about that. I'm not going to go into someone's house and try and tell them there's only two genders. Who doesn't want me in their house? But when it's in my store, like I remember seeing there was a rainbow banner that came on my computer during Pride Month from Microsoft. And I asked them, how do I remove this? Because this is like, my daughter's like, oh, we need a rainbow. What is that all about? And then if you click on it, it has all these articles. I'm like, that's just not what we're teaching in our house. So why should I have it on my computer? It's forced on me. So I think the battle lines for me as a Christian are when my freedom's taken away by you trying to exercise beyond your freedom. Mm. Because now you're trying to, and the Christians are the first ones, we crusaded for so long that we hurt everybody. Mm. You know, we know what it's like to hurt and do damage in communities. Mm. And so we should also know what it's like to take responsibility. A lot of these movements are new. I mean, transgender people are like less than 1% of American population, and they're the most protected people group there is. And they want it to be called hate speech to talk even about your difference of opinion. And now I only bring this up because like now on Xbox, if you say something about transgender just to express your opinion, you are now given 3 strikes as part of playing a game. You're given 3 strikes even if you don't use a derogatory, but if you say a different opinion than what they consider hate speech is to say you don't believe in it, that means that you could be banned from playing your favorite video game. So there's these rules and laws that are starting to target my family and my belief system that are taking away my freedoms. And so as soon as my freedoms are being taken away or they're being asked to be suppressed for the sake of someone else's freedom, that's not America anymore. And so that's when I'm going to start to fight and say, you know, I'm going to go ahead and ban your company and I'm going to tell my friends to ban your company until you get it right. You can have homosexual books in your store, but that can't be what you're blasting and blaring at me and my children to read. And you feel like if my children don't read these books, then they're not great citizens of our United States because they don't believe the same way you do. And there's this fight to get not just indoctrination in all families, but there's a fight to get, this is the only way to believe. And if you don't believe this, and if you try and take any other freedom, we're going to oppress you. And it's the first time we've had religious intolerance by the most religious radical group we've had in history, beyond any other group, beyond any Muslim, beyond any, it's the identity politics groups are the most literally radicalized groups there is. And I think that they're going to learn some lessons over the next couple of years because it's hurting them.
So we've touched on a lot of subjects and I think you've navigated the line beautifully and brilliantly. But whenever I have you on the show, I want you to talk to my homie over here who's watching.
What's up?
I think that the best thing to narrow it down is my friend here is in this culture that is increasingly hostile towards his biblical beliefs, increasingly intolerant to their biblical worldview. And yet it seems like the gospel and Christian culture is exploding in a way that it never has. But I don't want to push. I don't want to judge. I don't want to fight or flight, but I want to respond. Yo, Sean, like I'm here to hear this message. How do I, in my spheres, navigate culture with my Christian perspective?
I mean, this is why it's so cool for you because if you read the Bible for real, then Joseph and Daniel become very prominent figures in the Old Testament. And if Daniel could live in Babylon as the kind of the chief spiritual advisor of Babylon, which means that he would normally have studied astrology and witchcraft and everything else, but that he wasn't giving himself to that. And he was the chief spiritual advisor. And there was times even after he was appointed that there was compromise in the land, but he didn't live with compromise. He was still able to maintain himself outside of that. I mean, you have to picture Pharaoh with Joseph did not become an Israelite. He did not become, he did not worship, it didn't say he worshiped God. Now, you did have times where certain people worship God, like the queen of Sheba, I believe, comes to Solomon, worships God because of how he developed the land. It wasn't just the temple, but because of how he did the city infrastructure, judicial system, everything else. She's like, surely your God's real. So there's a moment in time where you could be Daniel in Babylon if God's a miraculous God. That means that you can fight for a position that he puts you in, but you're not fighting against the humans there over their morality and their compromise. But if they come and they say, hey, you have to do this, you can say, oh, I'm so sorry, I can't. And they go, we're going to have to throw you in the fire, you know, and you'll say, okay, throw me in the fire. And Jesus is going to be with you in the fire. And that's a part of our culture where we haven't been pressed to the place where we have to be in the fire very much. There's third world nations that have had persecuted church. We have been very persecuted, so we don't know what God's like in the miraculous side of that. And so I'm telling you, like, if the Bible's real, which we believe it is, there's miraculous stories that happen when you stand with God in those places of culture, in a place of influence with the kingdom, where you're fighting his battle with him, where he comes through miraculously. And you'll never see that if you don't go there.
Sean, my man, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Appreciate it.